Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments. Because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
Peace Health, community leader and proud sponsor of the Florence Area Chamber of Commerce.
At Peace Health, we believe no one is ever just one thing. Everyone has a story. There are patients and neighbors, our friends and coworkers. They're the people who make our community so vivid and rich. That's why we don't see a broken bone, a cough, or a medical chart. We see you. Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center, Florence. Practicing medicine with dignity, love, and understanding across the Pacific Northwest.
It's time for the April edition of Doc Talk, brought to you by Peace Harbor Hospital, Peace Harbor Medical Center, I should say, here in Florence. Joining me is Dr. Stanger. He is a podiatrist here at the hospital, specializing in feet, right?
That's correct.
Is that accurate enough?
That's accurate.
And April is National Foot Health Month. Wow. You know, they have a specific month for just about everything, feet, hands, you know, backs, hearts, lungs. What is it about the feet that you like so much?
Wow, that's a tough question to answer. I like the feet so much because they're very complicated. On average, we have about 28 bones in the foot. Some of us have a few more than that. Some of us have a few less. And it's a very complex dynamic system in such a very small part. And it's very important because as everyone finds out, that's the first thing that we use in the morning when we get up out of bed.
And it's sort of it's your foundation. You know, it's sort of like, you know, you can determine a lot of how your health is going to go by how your feet are, right?
Exactly. If you get up in the morning and your feet automatically hurt and they're not getting you from point A to point B, then it's going to significantly impact your life.
And sometimes your feet cannot hurt, but can be part of a problem that's causing somewhere else in the body, right?
Absolutely. We like to look at things either from a ground up or a top down, but a lot of things can go wrong if the feet aren't quite right.
So normally I start this out, and I probably should have done it again because it's been a while since you've been in here, but I just want to kind of give folks a little bit of your background again because it's been a few months since you've been here. Originally from
Layton, Utah.
Yeah.
Went to osteopathic medical school in Lebanon, Oregon. That was my first introduction to the Pacific Northwest and why we're back here. Transferred into podiatric medical school. Specifically to learn how to treat anything that I can with the foot and ankle, preference for working with my hands. And so that's worked out very well for myself. And spent some time in Denver and California and just very happy to be out here on the coast.
And of course, you know, the coast is a wonderful place to live. And I'm sure you're finding some of the extracurricular activities fun as well.
Absolutely. I tell all my patients that come in and they say, please don't leave. We like you here. And I say, well, I moved here for the same reason you all did to retire. Yeah. But unfortunately, I have, you know, 30 years to do that.
Some of the, I don't know. There's really not problems with the feet. It's some other motor issues that go on with the folks there. But what can you tell me about the feet that maybe I didn't know?
That's a great question, or statement, I should say. There are many things that symptomatically may happen in the feet that will bring you into your doctor, bring you into myself, that might indicate a condition somewhere else that's going on in the body. A very classic example that we saw a little more frequently in Denver than I've seen out here is clubbing. So you can, I think we might have even talked about this once before.
I think we might have, yeah.
Yeah, you can get clubbing of the nails, and that's usually indicative of more of a lung problem. And so I've had a couple of patients over the years that I've been doing this where we actually discovered lung cancer just simply from the way that the toenails had appeared when they came in to question why that was happening to them. And there's
is
other
it a discoloration, or is it the way they grow?
It's the way they grow. It's hard without a picture to really show you, but the digits will club, and it's a sign of chronic lack of poor oxygenation to the area that a mass in the lung can cause to happen, and that can sometimes be the first really symptom that they're having of an otherwise, you know, not known disease. And there's other conditions too, rheumatological or autoimmune, that sometimes we see presentation in the toes and the feet that generally aren't caught anywhere else.
Now, you mentioned you went to school in Oregon at one point, which was, say it again, the name of the school.
It's Western University of Health Sciences. It's okay. Their osteopathic medical school over in Lebanon.
Okay. So if I remember, hold on, I'm getting confused here, because you're not also a chiropractor, right?
No, but since I went to osteopathic medical school, I was trained in manipulation, and I still do manipulation of the lower extremity with my practice.
I guess the reason I asked that is because I kind of wanted to, I don't know if we talked, I don't think we talked about it this time, but there's a lot of homeopathic stuff out there and a lot of holistic stuff out there, including reflexology and things like that, that center on the foot. What is your take on some of those modalities?
That's a very great and again, loaded question. So I guess my philosophy stems really along the lines of, if it benefits you, I don't really see any harm in doing so. Now, the scientist in me will tell you that the literature and data available, aside from perhaps acupuncture, is pretty limited on those things. We know that if we do something and somebody responds beneficially, whether or not we call that a placebo, which just means we don't really have any evidence that it did anything, to me, it doesn't actually matter, because if you do something and it makes you feel better, well, then I'm going to encourage you to keep doing it, right? So,
and the mind is a powerful device as far as making how you feel different.
I completely agree with that statement. This has been proven time and time again. Every once in a while, we need to perform surgery with a patient awake, and we could inject local anesthetic so they're completely numb, and by all standards, they shouldn't feel anything. But if they're watching it, their mind can very much make it real, and they feel pain. And so we found that if we cover their ability to see what's being done, then they don't feel any pain. So we know that that exists.
Well, see, I've never looked at reflexology as a modality for healing. But I remember my dad's experiences with it when I was growing up. And I think he just liked having his feet rubbed, to be honest with you. But there's something calming and soothing about that as well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And many of those modalities, there are things centered around the foot specifically, especially with reflexology. And so again, yeah, if you find it beneficial, I'm never going to argue that point at all.
I'm speaking with Dr. Stanger. He is a podiatrist over at Peace Harbor Medical Center. We're on the April edition of Doc Talk. We'll be back with more.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments. Because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
Peace Health, community leader and proud sponsor of the Florence Area Chamber of Commerce.
At Peace Health, we believe no one is ever just one thing. Everyone has a story. There are patients and neighbors, our friends and coworkers. They're the people who make our community so vivid and rich. That's why we don't see a broken bone, a cough, or a medical chart. We see you. Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center, Florence. Practicing medicine with dignity, love, and understanding across the Pacific Northwest.
Joining me on this edition of Doc Talk is Dr. Stanger. He is a podiatrist over at Peace Harbor Medical Center. And tell me a little bit about National Foot Health Month. What is the goal of National Foot Health Month?
Excellent question. And mostly from our standpoint, we just want people to be aware. We have a rising condition in the United States called diabetes. With longstanding diabetes can come a secondary condition called neuropathy, and that is where it usually starts out with a tightness in the feet, maybe some burning pain, some numbness feeling, or feel like you have bunched up socks in your shoes. If this condition progresses, it can lead to the complete loss of sensation in the foot. And that is really what National Foot Awareness Month is for us. We would like to see those people often because, as you can imagine, not having the ability to feel your feet is very concerning for us. We need to put you in specialized shoes. We need to have specialized inserts to prevent you from getting wounds on the bottom of your foot that could lead to amputation. And so for many podiatrists, it literally means limb preservation and possibly the preservation of your life.
But when you talk about limb preservation, do you also talk to the patient about backing up to the root cause of that as well? As because obviously you want to take care of the issue at hand, but you maybe want to make it better or maybe delete some of the other problems like diabetes or at least calm some of those symptoms down.
Absolutely. That is probably one of the harder aspects of my position being given my training and whatnot. My scope of practice is limited by the state of Oregon to just be the foot and ankle, but I don't have feet and ankles walk into the door. I have people walk into the door. And so I always want to consider the entire patient and what I can and unfortunately cannot do for them. And so I definitely address the very specific concerns regarding their lower extremities. And I always try to encourage them to keep control of their blood sugars, make sure their diabetes are under control. You know, if they're just coming to see me and they're not following up with either their primary care physician or an endocrinologist to if that is necessary, then I'm going to encourage that they're routinely seeing those folks as well.
And the results of not doing anything is like you said, potentially even deadly. As a young man, I used to go, when I lived in Tucson, I used to go to the Indian Reservation, the Tohono O'odham Reservation, and visit people in the hospital there. And you would often see very high cases of diabetes, very high incidence of amputation and that there. And people that, and a lot of it was alcohol related, mm-hmm. you know, frankly, over time. But people that didn't have the kind of help that is maybe available now.
Absolutely. And these folks can get very sick very fast without knowing it. So diabetes at baseline is what we call an immunocompromised state. So they can get a wound on the bottom of their foot, not know it because they can't feel their feet at all. And this can quickly turn into an infection that reaches all the way down to bone. And that is typically what leads to an amputation. And once that process kind of undergoes, they become more susceptible to further amputation and possibly the loss of their limb and loss of their life.
And of course, you know, we definitely don't want that happening.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Some of the pride that I take in my position is being able to prevent wounds in the first place or secondarily trying to find ways to heal them quicker if possible. Sometimes that requires what we call surgical offloading just to try to give them a better shot at lessening the length of time that they would have a wound. The longer you, as you can imagine, the longer you have an open wound on your body, the more susceptible you are to bad things happening.
I don't know if we talked about this last time, but there is a unit called the hyperbaric oxygen chamber. Is that something that would benefit someone with this sort of neuropathy, or is that, I mean, or maybe have a wound, I should say?
There is a wound benefit here. So the hyperbaric chamber has been shown to help increase the healing in local wounds, especially if it is someone who has poor vascular supply to the lower extremity already, which does come up often. I often will tell someone who comes into my office, especially if they're considering surgery, is that the foot is the farthest thing from the heart, which means it's the hardest thing to get good blood down to.
Now, you know, the foot is something we use every day. You know, it's pretty tough for the most part. But I notice as people get older, their skin tends to change. You get more superficial wounds, you know, in your skin that you normally had. Is that something that can happen with the foot and not, like you said, you're not always necessarily aware of it?
Absolutely, it can happen in the foot. We do see skin atrophy all the time, especially on the top of the foot. We generally don't see it too much on the bottom of the foot, which is a good thing, but on the top of the foot, it happens very frequently.
Talking with Dr. Stanger, he is a podiatrist over at Peace Health Medical, Peace Harbor Medical Center. I'll get that right. It's not like I don't know the hospital over there. but we'll be back with just a little bit more right after this.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments. Because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
Peace Health, community leader and proud sponsor of the Florence Area Chamber of Commerce.
At Peace Health, we believe no one is ever just one thing. Everyone has a story. There are patients and neighbors, our friends and coworkers. They're the people who make our community so vivid and rich. That's why we don't see a broken bone, a cough, or a medical chart. We see you. Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center, Florence. Practicing medicine with dignity, love, and understanding across the Pacific Northwest.
On the April edition of Doc Talk, it is the National Foot Health Month, and we have a podiatrist in our midst here. Dr. Stanger is with us. Now, let's talk about you recently passed your board exams, I understand.
I did. That was a huge relief off my shoulders. So,
Tell me what does that entail? What are the board exams, and what sort of things did you have to do to pass?
Absolutely. So for those folks who really don't know what that means, essentially what a physician has to do to become trained is they have to go to medical school for 4 years, whether it's podiatry or any other type of family physician or orthopedic surgeon or whatnot. After that process, they have to go to something called residency, which is you're a doctor, but you need additional training. Well, the benchmark from a residency, aside from completion, is board exams. So your board exam is a way to certify that, hey, you're safe, you know what you're doing, you're very good at this, et cetera. Some board exams look at what's called a minimal competence, where they believe that if you pass this exam, you at least meet the bare minimum competence to be performing surgery specifically or treating these very specific conditions. And so most regular DO and MD physicians will get their board certification within a year of graduating residency. Podiatry is a little bit different in terms of their board certification. Theirs is more of a maximal competence. And so it means that this is a maximal level of competence as opposed to a minimal level of competence. And so many podiatrists actually do not achieve board certification for various reasons. About 30% will obtain it within their first 2 to 3 years of practice.
So the idea, you got to be the best of the best to pass your exams.
Yeah, and okay. That's how most of us feel about it. And there is some, unfortunately, there is some fighting amongst my profession, which is unfortunate because there's two different qualifying board exams that one can take. And I just helped to co-sponsor a resolution to bring those two boards together, because your standard surgeon only has to go through one board exam process as opposed to two. And so we'd like to be more like our MD and DO colleagues in that sense. And so,
except for keeping just the maximus part of it,
I guess. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because it is a badge of honor. It's definitely a badge of honor to say, hey, I'm board certified, especially when there's a significant number of people who don't obtain that.
So for your board certification, are you performing a surgery in front of your peers or in front of a board, or is this something different?
This is something different, and a great question to ask. So for surgeons in general, board certification is typically a written exam followed by an oral exam. In podiatry specifically, it is a written exam followed by a case-based exam where you go over multiple cases of how you would treat them either surgically or non-surgically. And so that is what my board exam was.
So there's no actual, they don't watch you perform a surgery.
No, they don't. But there are certain boards that can request x-rays and your actual cases that you have performed, and they review them and say, yeah, this guy's doing a good job. This gal's doing a good job.
Okay. Because I always picture the Seinfeld episode where all the doctors are sitting around and they've got the patient there and they're doing a surgery. And I'm thinking, you don't want to hear oops when you're doing a board certification. But I guess that's not an an issue.
That's not an issue. That's more or less what residency is about, where you're performing surgery under very close and very direct supervision.
Do you remember your very first time you performed a surgery on your own?
Absolutely.
What was that like?
Terrifying.
Was it really?
It was. But the way surgeons are trained is repetition, repetition, repetition. And so by the time that you're in that position, you've performed enough surgeries that it's just like second nature.
But again, like you said, the foot has a lot of bones in it.
Mm-hmm.
So every surgery is not going to be the same, right?
Correct. It is.
So when you do the repetition, 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 do you have to do the repetition of this particular surgery here and then the repetition of this particular surgery there?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's like depending on what comes up in your field of practice that particular month or...
It does. It's very challenging and made me incredibly grateful for the residency program I was able to go to. I went to one of the largest trauma hospitals in the country, so a lot of surgical experience was gained from that, and I was able to bring that here to Florence.
So are you, you know, I know we're a smaller town, but are you fairly busy with the surgeries and stuff?
I am nonstop busy.
Really?
I am the only podiatrist within the geographical region here, and so actually...
That includes outside of Florence.
Yeah, obviously. I've had people from as far as Bend, Oregon, Redmond area, from the Dalles. I get people constantly from Eugene, Coos Bay, Newport. So I see folks from all over the state.
Hmm. My next question would be, are you contracted with the hospital or are you on a case-per-case payment basis? Because I want to, you know, make a little bit of money there.
I am very happy to be employed by the hospital. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to work for a nonprofit, and I'm very grateful that they have brought me on.
Well, I think we're glad to have you, and I think that you know, the fact that you're here, you're the only one, and you're very well sought after, apparently, right?
Very busy. Mm.
So you enjoy it here? Your experience been good?
We love Florence. I come with a wife and three children, and I think a big concern for many physicians when they move to a new place that's small is, you know, how accepting is the community of these new people? And
how have we done?
We've done excellent. So,
no, I mean, how have we done for you? I mean,
wonderful. So, there's some big buzz about Crow recently in the Newsies production, and
you have one of your young ones in that?
I have two children in that, and I myself am in that.
Really?
So,
and what are you playing?
I'm playing the governor, Teddy Roosevelt.
Really? Bully.
Yeah. It's great.
I bet.
Come see the show.
I will come see it. That sounds like a fantastic thing, and I'm glad you're getting involved in that.
Yeah, Melanie Hurd looped me in pretty quickly to be a tutu dad in the past, Holly Follies. That was very fun.
Right. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that. That is something you will never see me do.
Oh, come on, George. You'd be a great tutu
no,
dad.
No, no, no. Never, never, never. I am too... Yeah, I couldn't do that, but... Congrats to you, though.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for coming in today. I appreciate it. And again, April is National Foot Health Month. Annual foot exams important?
Annual foot exams are important. These are something that's actually traditionally performed by your primary care physician. If they find something that they're concerned about, then you will be referred to my office.
What does a foot exam entail? Do they just rub your feet, check your feet? What? Look for discolorization? They look for the club toe?
They may, yeah. It depends on if they're doing the foot exam versus me doing a foot exam. But traditionally, what a foot exam encompasses is checking the musculature of them, checking the what's called the neurovascularity, so good blood flow. We'll check the pulses of your feet. There's two that we specifically look for. And then we also do a lot of nerve testing using something called the monofilament exam. This is one of the primary roles in having an annual foot exam from your primary care provider. They will use what essentially looks like a piece of fishing line, and they will touch your toes and the bottom of your feet. And if there's any deficits there, they're going to get you referred over to my office for a more in-depth foot exam.
So if you can't feel the fishing line on your toe, there's a problem.
Yes, sir.
Wow. I'm going, I'm thinking about more things to ask you. So I was going to finish, but I want to ask you one more thing.
Absolutely.
Feet are so different. You've got high arches, low arches, you got flat feet. Are there any particular ailments that come with the different types of curvatures and that are unique to one over the other?
Oh, definitely. And there's even a whole basket of worms there, too. There are certain conditions that can actually make those things even happen. So high arch feet that you brought up, there's actually a neuro condition called Charcot-Marie tooth that can cause your arches to continue to increase. And you can actually lose...
Is that like a contraction of the foot that causes the arch to grow?
Essentially, it's a loss of nerve function. And so the muscles atrophy and there's no what we call counterbalancing. And so the arch will continue to increase to the point where you have a very unstable ankle. So you can overload what we call the lateral column. That would be the outside of your foot, like the pinky toe. And we can see calluses come from that. We can see wounds come from that. And we can see an increase in broken ankles or just broken foot bones from that. And then the opposite is true as well. There are conditions that can flatten the feet drastically. There's something called posterior tibial tendon dysfunction. And it is actually very common here in Florence. I see it daily. And it's an insufficiency of that tendon. It's a muscle that controls a lot of the arch of the foot. And as it weakens, then the foot can collapse and turn outwards like a duck.
Is that just age that causes that? Or is there another condition going on in the body that, that causes that?
Age can contribute. Weight can contribute, especially if it's sudden weight gain. There's also just a certain component that's hereditary and genetic. And sometimes just bad luck.
People should get their feet checked.
They should get their feet checked.
Dr. Stanger, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.